This BBC podcast is supported by ads outside the UK.
The moment of shock is just unforgettable.
From CBC and the BBC World Service, The Con, Caitlin's Baby, available now.
Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service.
Estás escuchando The Fifth Floor.
The Fifth Floor'u dinliyorsunuz. Bizimle kalın.
Tumya Ektay, The Fifth Floor, Farnak Amidi Sobat.
This is The Fifth Floor, at the heart of global storytelling with BBC journalists from all around the world. I'm your host, Farnak Amidi. Evin Prison in the north of Tehran is a well-known, somewhat notorious place in Iran. Everyone has an image of Evin Prison in their heads, but not many people know what goes on in there and how life actually is for the prisoners. It's certainly not a place where you would expect much singing. That is the sound of female prisoners in the women's ward of Evin. They are singing a protest song, calling for freedom and an end to the death penalty. Thousands of women in Iran have been arrested since the Woman Life Freedom protests in 2022, and a large proportion of them are held in Evin. Through multiple reliable sources, BBC Persian have been piecing together an idea of what life is like in the prison and made an animated film called Songs from Inside. Golnoush Golshani worked on the film. She's from Iran herself, so I spoke to her about what it was like finding out about these women and telling their stories. So tell me about this particular prison, Evin. I mean, we hear the name all the time, but what is it known for?
You're right. It's one of the best known prisons in Iran. It's got a reputation as being a notorious prison. And the reason behind it is both before the revolution of 1979 and mainly after that, it's been the prison where most of the so-called political prisoners have been kept in. The numbers have grown during different periods, especially after the Iranian Revolution. In different periods, large number of executions of such political prisoners have taken place in the prison. It's located north of the capital, Tehran.
So these women who are featured in this animation, in this film, what are some of the charges that are against them?
Charges are very broad. It's usually propaganda against the regime or threatening national security. And when you look at the detail, it could be anything from a journalist covering a story that is deemed a national security, could be taking part in gatherings and demonstrations, could be even posting posts online that is in disagreement with the government.
And for this story, you chose to use animation as your main medium to tell the story of these women in prison. Why was that?
We thought it's very important to try to portray what happens inside, because we usually hear about these women up until their sentence is given, and we don't hear much after they go inside to serve years in prison. When we were researching, we found out that very little exists of what life inside prison is. I was looking for a photo for the online text, and even not a single still image exists. So we thought, how else can we take the audiences inside the prison apart from an animation? But also animation, because we didn't want to stick to, you know, dry facts. We wanted to get to know these women and understand what's going on in their minds and in their head and what happens between them. And it was very difficult to illustrate in any other way. And animation did that really well.
It did. So as you mentioned, you know, rarely you can get any accounts from inside the prison. And usually it's prisoners who are freed, they come out and they have these stories. But what is so unique about the narratives of these women?
What I think is unique is we gather through our sources their accounts as life is happening inside prison. From the moment someone is taken into solitary confinements, goes through interrogations day after day and month after month, meeting other women, how they support each other. What is a day like? How do you wake up in the morning when you're serving 5 years in prison? How do you go through one day and another? Do fights break out? How friendships are forged? And the reason we decided to look at that was that after a while, when the protests on the streets had been crushed, we
You mean
saw
the
that
Woman Life Freedom protests in 2022?
Against the compulsory hijab mainly. And we realized that the center of resistance and protest against the compulsory hijab and violations of women's rights have moved from the street to the prisons because many of the women's rights activists were put in prison. That's why we shifted our lens from the street to the prison and really became obsessed with understanding of what goes inside and how these friendships and resistance is built and followed.
Yeah, fascinating. So let's get into some of these stories, get to know some of these women who are featured in this film. One of them is this woman called Naseem. Tell me about her.
She is a 30-something-year-old woman, lived in Tehran, was a hairdresser. She's one of the people who was arrested following the process in 2023. What we know, apart from her being into makeup and having worked as a hairdresser, is that she loves rap music. The information we gathered painted a picture of someone who used rap and the rap songs, even during her solitary confinement, to endure the pressure and the difficulty of having to go through interrogations when you're in solitary confinement without access to anyone.
How long has she been sentenced to prison for?
She's been sentenced to 6 years in prison, but also about 20 years in exile. But when she receives her sentence, she says, I felt a weight was lifted from my shoulders and I could embrace life again, because her charge was one of the charges that could, in theory, bring the death penalty. So her and many other women were extremely worried about that. So even a six-year jail and 20 years in exile was a sigh of relief.
Another woman, her story is a bit different, Rezvane. She's been in and out of prison quite a few times. Tell us about her.
Yes, she's been in and out
three
or four
times. She's a seasoned one.
Yes, around the same age, not older, but yes, she's a human rights activist and she's been in prison before. And she also says, each time I feel I'm stronger. She was arrested again in 2023 together with her husband, and they were both transferred to the same prison, Evin, of course, in separate wards. What is unique about her story is that she had struggled with fertility for a long time, and doctors had told her that she can't have babies. But when she's in prison, she finds out that she's pregnant. And that changes the experience of prison for her.
How did that happen?
In Iran, many things can surprise you. Inside Evin and inside jails in Iran, if husbands and wives are by law allowed to meet in private, so Rezvan and her husband were allowed such private visits, and in one of those visits she conceived, and
that's an incredible story.
It is. Many things can surprise you about
it. Could be fictional almost.
About what is allowed, the rights prisoners have and don't have in Iran, and this is one of the surprising ones, that husbands and wives are allowed to meet in private.
So another woman is called Vida. And she's portrayed in your film. She's a journalist, but she also likes to paint. And you feature her painting in this animation. What's her story?
Her story is also very interesting. One of those details you find out when you start looking at, in detail at a prison. So she's a painter, I would say, a very good painter when I started looking at her paintings. And inside prison, she's fought to get access to some paint, not much canvas. So she uses prison bed sheets as canvas. In the animation, we hear the story of how she paints this very dark and dirty staircase where prisoners are allowed to go and have a smoke into a blue ocean. And she explains that other prisoners loved it. And they said, we walk down the stairs and it's as if we walk into an ocean. But any right or any access you have is always comes with a condition. And authorities have warned her not to use her paints for anything that has any special or political meaning. We hear when she paints crumbling walls and a forest behind it, the authorities paint over it because they think it's got too much of a hidden meaning. Something else she does is that she draws portraits of inmates who are under the threat of execution. One of those portraits is a portrait of Pakhshan Azizi, who's a Kurdish human rights activist who is sentenced to death. Human rights activists inside and outside Iran are extremely concerned about her situation and their worries that it may be carried out anytime soon.
Yeah. And center point to this animation, I think, is the relationship between these women. They come from different walks of life, but there is this bond between them. For a lot of listeners, they don't understand the depth of this, but to thread your facial hair, like to sit in front of a girlfriend and thread their eyebrows or their little mustache, it's something maybe your grandmother did for you or your cousins did for you, and you portray that in this animation. Tell me more about the things they do that creates this kind of sisterhood in prison.
That's one of the most beautiful things we learned. Of course, prison, as one of the characters puts it, is a place of ruin. But among the darkness, the friendships bring life into prison. Many of these women form friendships so strong that, you know, they keep it when they're released and they become, you know, best friends. And we have a few of those in our animation, and we learned about many more that when, you know, to begin with, when someone enters the ward for the first time, maybe they've gone through interrogations or torture, other prisoners gather around them, ask them, do you want an omelette? You know, do you want to listen to, you know, a bit of music? What can we do? They give advice to one another. And then when daily life begins, they become pals. You know, they wake each other up in the morning and take each other for, you know, a coffee, a morning chat. One of the prisoners has a story that she was friends with Narges Mohammadi, the Nobel Peace Prize winner. And she jokes and says, you know, we tell Narges that you used to make coffee for us every morning, but ever since you've won the Nobel Peace Prize, you've stopped making the coffee.
You think you're better than that right now. I love that. These are really, really beautiful stories in such a dark environment.
And it goes beyond the friendship over coffee and plucking each other's eyebrows. It goes to really supporting each other through the darkest moments. That's how the women protest against executions, against mistreatment of fellow prisoners.
Yeah, and I want to get into that because that's something that maybe a lot of people don't know, that these women are protesting and campaigning from inside the prison. They've started this protest, which I think is now almost a year old, which is called the Tuesdays of No to Execution, Seshanbehaye Nabe Edam. And we have a clip of their protest from inside the prison. Let's have a listen. Gulnish, what are they chanting?
They're chanting freedom, 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 singing a slogan saying the women ward of Heaven Prison is fighting against execution sentences until they stop. Mm-hmm. And although our animation is mostly reenacted, these are actual audio files from inside Evin Prison. It's a campaign that has spread through prisons throughout Iran, and prisoners every Tuesday go on hunger strike, go on protest, sing slogans to protest against the executions. Iran has one of the highest execution rates in the world. Last year, 2024, was the highest number in about 17 years. Over 900 people were executed in Iran. Most of those are drug-related charges, but also include people who've been executed for their political activity. And there's been an increase in number of women executed, too. That's something that prisoners across Iran protest against and are extremely worried about.
Mm. They've also campaigned for other things. Tell us about some of their achievements, basically, from inside prison.
Other things they protest for is sometimes comes to small things that can make life easier. For example, women in Evin prison have fought for many years to be able to have curtains on their bunk beds. Cells have up to 20 people in each and CCTVs everywhere. So women have fought very hard to have curtains in their bunk beds so they have at least
some privacy.
And even that small achievement is threatened now and then, and they protest against it. The other thing is that by law, you're expected to wear the hijab even inside the women's prison. And women inside Evin have fought for some years now against that, and they don't wear the hijab. They wear their everyday clothes. Even we hear, you know, skirts. That's another one.
Yeah. This is the documentary from the BBC World Service.
The OB does the ultrasound, and I'm looking at the monitor, and there's no baby.
This is the story of a young woman who faked pregnancy again and again.
Story after story after story.
Targeting birth workers with a web of lies.
That this was a pregnancy via assault.
She was going through a stillbirth at 24 weeks.
From CBC and the BBC World Service, The Con, Caitlin's Baby. Available now.
You are listening to The Fifth Floor. Today, I'm talking to Golnoush Golshani, a BBC World Service editor, about the notorious Evin prison in Iran and the women who are held there. So we talked about their resilience and some of the beautiful moments they've created together, but they've also talked about terrible things that happen in prison, abuses, torture.
Yes, we try to portray the moments of hope, but in general, prison is full of darkness for these prisoners and lots of allegations of horrible abuse. And that's mainly in the solitary confinement period, because when a prisoner is brought in, they usually start going into a solitary confinement where most of the time no one apart from their interrogator has access to them, not even their lawyer or their family. Mm. Prisoners talk about 10, 12, 15 hours of interrogation day after day, and sometimes threats of execution, sometimes mock executions, sexual harassment as well. These are accounts that have been repeated in different prisons and throughout time. Another one which is very important is they deny proper access to doctors and hospitals, and they use that access to healthcare as a tool to control prisoners, we hear.
Mm. And Agis Mohammadi, as you mentioned, she won the Nobel Peace Prize. She's the most high-profile female prisoner right now. Tell us about some of her activities before she got in prison.
Agis Mohammadi has been mostly a human rights campaigner and a women's rights campaigner. But like many other campaigners following woman life freedom, the campaign against the compulsory hijab has become her campaign too. So you see, she was recently released from prison on medical grounds, temporarily released. You see when she's brought out of prison.
And we have a clip of her that she's released, and they are taking her out of an ambulance on a stretcher. Let's have a listen first. Golnoush, when I saw this video, I was shocked in the beginning because she's wearing a sleeveless dress and she's wearing red lipstick and shouting
And she has her fist in the air and shouting. What is she shouting?
And she's got her long black curly hair.
Curlier than yours.
Exactly. And yours. You're right. It's easy if a non-Iranian looks at that clip, maybe at first glance, they don't realize the importance of how she looks. She's not only not wearing a headscarf, she's not wearing sleeves and trousers as is expected of women in Iran. And she's shouting, she's saluting freedom. She says, "Hello, freedom." And then she goes on shouting, "A woman, life, freedom." Mm. And she's someone who's suffering from various ailments. And she's been extremely ill. That's why she was allowed outside. But she's, as you said, she's a fierce campaigner. And by looking at her smile with red lipstick, you wouldn't guess that she's that ill.
So tell us about her a little bit more, because she was featured in this animation as well. How long has she been in prison and what's happened to her? She's been in prison for a very long time.
I don't have the count in front of me, but she's got something like 15, 20 different charges, maybe altogether more than 30 years of imprisonment. Mm. And then she won the Nobel Peace Prize when she was in prison. When she was last month released on medical grounds, it was only then that the Nobel Committee could contact her and congratulate her over a video link.
When you were doing this film with your team, was there anything that really surprised you?
Yes, there are many, many things that even we as journalists who had followed the news of these women and Ev in prison didn't know. You know, the accounts of mischief and how prisoners amid the darkness try to live life, and they see that as also part of their activism. Mm-hmm. And one of the prisoners talk about how Narges Mohammadi every Friday, which is the weekend in Iran, walks around the ward and starts singing and puts on red lipstick and high heels and goes on a table and starts dancing to bring joy to the ward. And then some others say, Narges, you're the Nobel Peace Prize winner. Be a bit more serious, woman. So, yes, just imagining those details was really surprising. It's not what you expect.
And Gulnush, what do the authorities say? What is their stance when these accusations of right abuses in prison and outside prison are put forward?
They repeatedly deny allegations of human rights violations by individuals or international bodies. They claim conditions inside Evin and other prisons meet the standards, and that prison, and they deny prisoners are mistreated in any way.
Thank you to Gulnush, and you can watch the animation Songs from Inside on the World Service YouTube page. I'm Farhanak Hamidi. The Fifth Floor team this week was
Caroline Ferguson,
Alicia Joya,
and
Hannah Dean.
Thanks for listening. You've been listening to The Documentary from the BBC World Service.
The OB does the ultrasound, and I'm looking at the monitor, and there's no baby.
This is the story of a young woman who faked pregnancy again and again.
Story after story after story.
Targeting birth workers with a web of lies.
That this was a pregnancy via assault.
She was going through a stillbirth at 24 weeks.
From CBC and the BBC World Service, The Con, Caitlin's Baby, available now.